Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. It's the Sports Junkies without the Sports Junkies. Toby Altizer in for the guys today here on Juneteenth. 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, taking you up till 10 o'clock. Then tossing the ball to the DOC, Doc Walker, taking you up until Nationals baseball today here on The Fan, the Team 980. So the Commanders had an incredible season last year. I think we all enjoyed that ride. It was so much fun to see winning football and the burgundy and gold again. Seeing that level of play from our football team was great again. How much luck played into it, though? How much luck? 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. So the reason this comes up, Sam Fortier wrote a piece in the Washington Post citing a data analyst, I believe his name is Data with Bliss, I think is what he goes by. And he went through and quantified his quote-unquote, I guess, luck metric. Yeah, Data with Bliss on Twitter. And it found that the Commanders were one of the luckiest teams, or the luckiest team last year, but one of the luckiest teams in a long time. And I don't want to dive too deep into some of this stuff because these, frankly, I disagree with a lot of these numbers. So just kind of laying out exactly what the premise of this is. This according from, coming from Tom Bliss, Data with Bliss on Twitter. Basically, he views scenarios where a team benefits from actions in a game that are almost entirely derived from opponent performance or lucky bounces. And it measured their impact with win probability. So we'll start with, if an opponent drops a pass on offense, that's considered luck, right? If your opponent drops the ball and you didn't do anything about it, that's lucky. If an opponent drops an interception on defense, if an opponent misses a kick, or if either team recovers a fumble, by that metric, the 2024 Commanders were the luckiest team since at least the 2022 season when Bliss started tracking this, and it wasn't even close. So here's where I have an issue, and I have a big issue with this. Matter of fact, I hate this. I can't stand it. Because some of the stuff that is quantified as luck is not luck at all. It's good football. The number one thing that, or one of the things that's really pointed out here, is the two-point conversion play that wasn't successful for the New Orleans Saints. When they played down in New Orleans, that was not a good football game for Washington, by the way. They should have smoked them. They didn't play particularly well. They end up winning 20-19. They go for two at the end of the game. The New Orleans Saints did. They're not able to come through to win the ball game. You know, they're going for two, win or loss. They don't want to go to overtime. Go back and watch that play. Please go back and watch that play. Spencer Rattler, they run like a little rollout. I think it was trips to the right. They run a little rollout. Juwan Johnson, it's thrown to him. It's outside. He's diving for it. Noah Igbinoghene's right in his grill, and he doesn't make the catch. That's not luck. That's good defense. How the heck is that luck? Go back and watch that play and tell me that's luck. There's not a single person in the history of watching football that saw that fall incomplete and said, "Whoo, Washington got lucky on that one." No, they did not. That's good defense. Could Juwan Johnson have made the catch? Sure. Absolutely. What was more likely? Him making that catch or not making that catch? I would say he was more likely to not make that catch. So how the heck is it luck that he didn't make the catch? If you want to look at me and say that the drop for Devontae Smith in the second Eagles game, the one that they won at the end of the regular season, was luck, I'll listen. If you want to say the Malik Nabers drop in week two was luck, I can listen. If it's good defense, though, and a guy drops a pass, quote-unquote drops a pass, that's not luck. That's not luck. And I love the thing that B. Mitch had to say about this yesterday. As a former player, what he laid out was, I know guys that worked their tails off, and I know guys that didn't. And it always seemed like the guys that worked their tails off got more, quote-unquote, lucky. Right? The guys that were putting in the extra work, they're the ones that saw the ball farther away. And there's no surprise about that. Some of the other factors in this I can understand. Like, look, if I throw a ball directly into your hands as a quarterback and I throw it directly to a defender's hands and he drops it, yeah, sure, it's lucky. But there's got to be a way to quantify this, to not make it seem like such an irrational stat. To me, it's only lucky if it's an unordinary play where this guy catches this ball 95% of the time and he didn't this time, right? Like, if a guy's expected to make a diving catch and it's scraping it off the ground, that's not luck. If a ball hits a guy in the hands as the defender and he drops it, sure. But if he has to, like, dive, he has to jump around, he's getting hit, like, no, it's not lucky. An opponent misses a kick. Seriously? A missed kick? I get from, like, 30 yards and in. Might be lucky, assuming you didn't block it. But a guy misses a 45-yard field goal and it's luck? No, it's not. It's football. Their team might have a sucky kicker. This team is used to having a sucky kicker, right? Are you telling me when... what was the guy's name? Blewett? Who was the kicker here that couldn't kick it over the line?
Wasn't it Chris Blewett?
Yeah, Chris Blewett. You're telling me when Chris Blewett missed a kick, it was lucky for the other team? Nope, that was horrible on Washington's part for having him ever kick. That wasn't lucky. And this is the one that really drives me up a wall, along with the drop pass on offense. If either team recovers a fumble, according to this metric, if I'm in a crowd of four or five guys and you're running as the ball carrier and I punch the ball out and I recover it, that was luck. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's called football. To me, the issue with this is trying to quantify everything with stats. And I'm generally an analytical person. I lean more that side than the old school. You know, we have a fun time in the press box in Nats Park all the time with our guy Craig Heist, and I'll throw exit velos his way, I'll throw expected batting average, and he loved that stat yesterday, by the way. I was talking about expected batting average. That's a stat that doesn't even exist. He's technically not wrong, right? He loves bringing up James Wood had a double down the left field line the other day with the exit velo of 67, and then someone has a rocket of 110 yesterday with Brady House, and that one's caught, right? Sometimes the stats don't really matter. Sometimes the stuff, you can just look at the results. I get that. I'm probably more analytical than the average fan, but this to me just screams, we're trying to quantify everything and stuff that can't be quantified. At times, stuff is football. Guys drop passes. That's football. Want to know why guys drop passes? because humans play football and humans are not perfect. You want to know why guys miss kicks? Because humans are kickers. If we had robots kicking, then maybe we could consider. I just don't understand how you can look at last season for the Commanders. There were some things that went their way. There's no question about it. But I need to know how this luck factor, this luck dashboard, factors in the other side too. Because you're going to tell me the Hail Mary's lucky, and I'm going to say, sure, that doesn't happen very often. I'll give you that one. And I'm going to tell you that missing the extra point with Austin Seibert was unlucky in the Dallas game, right? Does that even out? Maybe it's still more heavily in the Hail Mary side, but it's pretty uncommon for kickers to miss extra points, right? It's not like they miss 50% of them. It's a low percentage of missed extra points, especially in that spot. I would say that's unlucky. The other one that drives me up a little bit of a wall, and maybe I'm crazy here, people look at the doink in the wild card game as lucky. I think if you kick that kick 100 times and it went at that angle, and went, it's going in. It didn't square up the upright. Yeah, it was maybe 5 or 6 inches from missing. That's not luck, though. It was on the inside of the upright and deflected in. It's not like it deflected off the side upright and then fell down and hit the crossbar and then hit the upright again and then went in. It wasn't lucky. He almost missed the kick, but that's not lucky that it went in. It was always going to go in the way that it hit the upright. Am I wrong there? Like, why in the world do you have to quantify this luck thing? And that, to me, maybe it's just a frustration by it feeling like it's discrediting. But this, to me, is just trying to do too much, as the kids say. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to quantify something that just, this is why we play the games. This is, the reality is, humans play these games, and so there are going to be imperfections. You know, I play sports video games a lot. Some of the stuff that happens, these quote-unquote luck factors, are the things that get TVs broken. The things that get controllers thrown through the television. Think about that Devontae Smith play in the Eagles game. He's wide open. Jalen Hurts hits him in the numbers, and he just drops it. If you're playing Madden and that happens, your controller is going straight through your television. Right? You pick the perfect guy on a stop route, right in the middle of a wide open zone, and you hit him dead in the hands, and he drops it. Like, but that's humans playing football. That is football. It happens. Guys drop passes. Can you explain it? No. But also, you have to work hard. You can't tell me, like, guys have to make plays at the end of games. Also, my favorite quote from this. So, Tyler Biadasz was asked, do you believe in luck? His answer was, I believe in five. You're darn right. You're darn right. I don't think it's lucky when you win football games, and because people love to point out, now I'm getting fired up about this. It's so frustrating. People love to point out they won so many games in the last possession. You want to know why they won games in the last possession? Because Jaden Daniels plays quarterback for this football team. Because Jaden Daniels is awesome and already one of the best quarterbacks in this league. That's why. Because they were able to get the ball back, either trailing by one score or tied, and they milked the clock out, and Jaden Daniels either got them into field goal range or got them into the end zone. That's not luck, ladies and gentlemen. That's not luck. That's called having a great quarterback. Is it lucky every time the Kansas City Chiefs win in a one-possession game because they have Patrick Mahomes? Maybe the only luck involved there is the fact that they ended up with Patrick Mahomes. That's it. That's the luck involved there. There's no luck involved with Patrick Mahomes working another game-winning drive. That's not luck. That's football. That's how it works. When you have a great quarterback, you win more games than you don't. Is that all luck? No. No, it's not. So I understand the premise of this, but frankly, I kind of hate it. I kind of hate it. Yeah, the team had some things go their way last year, and there were also things that didn't go their way last year. You want to know something that didn't go their way last year? Jaden Daniels was breaking free against the Carolina Panthers and wanted to protect himself, and a guy fell on him wrong, and he was hurt for the next month. That's unlucky. How does that quantify in your metric? How does that quantify? Also, by the way, let's go back and look at some of the scores of these games. Let's go back and look at how they were doing in these games to see if it really made a difference when they, you know, had a quote-unquote lucky break. Let's go back and look. All right, let's see. They win 42-14 over the Cardinals. You think there was luck involved there? How much luck was involved? Did luck win them that game by 28 points? How about 34-13 over the Browns? Did luck win them that game? How about 40-7 without Jaden Daniels against the Panthers? Did luck win them that game? How about 42-19 over the Titans? Did luck win them that game? That's four games right there that you just blew out the opponent. So they might have dropped a pass. Did that make a difference in the game? Probably not. They might have missed a kick. Did that somehow win you the game? No, because you won by 20-plus points. So that's the stuff that just, to me, is a little bit, you're trying a little bit too hard. I don't think they're trying to purposely discredit the team from last year, but I don't think that luck was a major factor in why they were 12-5 and went to the NFC Championship game. It might have played a little bit of a role, but I don't think it was a big one. And I don't think it was one that was even something that really mattered, because players have to go out there and make plays, plain and simple. Do you think it would be something that if you get to the end of a game, Terry McLaurin's thrown the ball 4th-and-3, he would have had a chance. He's 5 yards. He's 2 yards past the sticks. He gets thrown the ball. Jaden hits him in the numbers. He drops it. Are we coming in the next day going, it's just unlucky, man. It's just unlucky. Just unlucky, man. It's too bad. No. What are we saying? Terry's got to catch the ball. Players got to make plays. That's what we're saying the next day, right? That's what you're saying. That's what happens. Players have to step up and make plays in big-time moments. And also, that's something that this team talks about a lot and focuses on, their quote-unquote winning time moments. I don't think it's any accident that this team was able to win so many games at the end of games. Why? They practice that stuff. They're ready for that stuff. They're prepared for that stuff. So this idea that luck was a major part of their season last year is just wild to me. It was a part, but a big part of the reason they were so successful is their quarterback, the coaching, their preparation, and players stepping up and making plays. That's why. If you want to say luck was a 3% factor, sure. It wasn't a 30% factor. It wasn't a major factor in the way that they were able to go out and play last year, because there were some balls that didn't bounce their way. And so when you lay out some of this stuff, look, maybe the ball doesn't bounce their way this year. Does that mean that they suddenly go to a 7-win football team? I don't think so. I don't think so. And maybe there are some things that won't go their way. I think any logical Commanders fan would understand that they're not likely to hit another Hail Mary. But I lay out for you, their kicker's not likely to miss an extra point to tie a game at the end of a Dallas game. There are both sides of this coin. Maybe I just sound like a fanboy here. Maybe I just sound like a frustrated fan. But I think it's a little bit wild to me when you read some of this stuff. And I don't know that Sam, I don't know that this Ryan Bliss or whatever his name was, Tom Bliss, I don't think they're trying to discredit anyone. I think they're trying to find a interesting data point here and kind of go through things. But I think sometimes when you're looking at this stuff and you're quantifying some of these things, there's got to be a better way to do it where you're not including clear football plays that guys do a good job of making sure you're not able to do your job, aka catch the football or make a kick or whatever it may be, recover a fumble. Those aren't luck. That's football. And some things in sports are just not quantifiable. That's why we love the game. If everything were quantifiable, we'd plug it in a computer and it would never matter what the athletes look like again or how they played or anything, because we just run simulations. How often do we get these simulations from all these places saying, oh, we ran 100 of them and so wins the Super Bowl? And how often does that come true? That's why we love sports. It's unpredictable. Guys have to step up and make plays. There's pressure. There's all these sorts of things. There was a caller yesterday, I don't think G&D were able to get to him, but brought up a good point. I want you to think early 2000s. There's a receiver crossing the middle of the field. Okay? Ball's thrown, and he drops it. No one ever touched him, but number 21 was patrolling the middle of the field. Was that luck? Or was it intimidation because someone was there? And his name was Sean Taylor. You know what I'm saying? That's a factor, but that doesn't quote-unquote fall in here. So that's my point. There's so many different ways to look at this. I get the premise of the article. Sure, they got some fortunate bounces, but maybe let's do a little bit better of a job of quantifying some of this stuff. Regardless, luck wasn't a major factor in why they were good last year. Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, go down the list. Those guys were a big reason why the team was successful last year. Let's take a break. When we come back, Craig Hoffman from the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 going to join us to break down the Commanders. Also want to get his thoughts on the NBA draft coming up for the Wizards. Keep it tuned right here to the Fan and the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back. It is the Sports Junkies, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys on Juneteenth. It's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let's talk to our friend from the Team 980, the Hoffman Show, 4-7 over on the Team 980, Craig Hoffman. Craig, what's going on, dude?
What's up, Toby? How are you this morning?
Can't complain. I'm not a morning person. CK Ooh. Mentioned that. Every time I talk to him, every time I fill in for the junks, I feel like I have to mention it. Not a morning person, so a little bit of a rough morning, but I think we've hit our stride now.
Yeah, as someone who has done the fill-in bit for the Junks in his career, if you're not a morning person, it is a rough shift, my friend. So I'm glad by 8:30, 2.5 hours into the show, you've hit your stride.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, that 6 to 8 a.m. time frame is like throwing in the bullpen, and now I'm throwing gas. Now I'm good to go.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the worst fill-in, I mean, I was thankful for all the fill-in hours I got. They helped me get where I am. Yeah, insert caveats here.
Yes.
The worst fill-in I ever did was I would do some work for some of our other stations around the country, and one of the stations I did a lot of work for actually was WQAM in Miami. And I did the work from D.C. remotely. So, you know, I think it's like Prod Studio 4, which means nothing to anyone listening but something to you. It is, I think, the smallest production studio we have. It is literally the size of a coat closet. And I am doing a morning show in Miami in like November. And there's like a weather report of how it's 70 degrees and beautiful. It's 35 in D.C. And I am in a closet at 6 in the morning taking calls on the Miami Dolphins. So that, at least you're not doing that today.
Yeah, I mean, how hard was it to match the sunny vibe when you're walking in with a big old winter coat?
I don't think I succeeded, I'll put it that way.
So I want to talk about the Commanders, and specifically with their offseason, Craig. Did you agree with their philosophy on how they attacked improving the defense? Because I think a lot of people wanted to see them get an edge rusher, a premier edge rusher. They didn't really do that. They got bigger on the defensive line, and then they attacked the secondary a little bit. But I don't know how much the defense overall has improved, but what are your overall thoughts on how they attacked improving that unit this offseason?
So I actually think they did a good job in terms of the approach, because I think we all misidentified the problem coming out of the season, and they correctly identified the problem, which is it wasn't about, like, we need more pass rushers. We need this, like, crazy pass rush juice. We need a premier edge. They need to be better on first and second down. Specifically, they need to be better against the run. And this has been kind of a hot topic this week because Keim wrote about it on ESPN.com, and the numbers are absolutely glaring. And one number that's kind of been floating around all offseason that John included in his piece as well is of the top 10 teams at stopping the run last year, 9 made the playoffs. Of the bottom 10 teams, 1 made the playoffs, and it was Washington. So you tell me which is a more sustainable formula. So if you look at it through that lens of they needed to get better on first and second down, and we can talk about the second order effects of like how that actually helps your pass rush, et cetera, et cetera. Getting Dietrich Wise, getting Eddie Goldman, getting Javon Kinlaw, getting the beef that they got up front and the solid depth, bringing back Cleveland Furl, not to be a starter but a backup. Like, these are the kinds of moves that move the needle on that part of playing defense. And that part of playing defense has a huge trickle down, for everything else. And this is why the best teams every year have great offensive and defensive lines. It's that element of being able to play that way that is sustainable. And so when people talk about, oh, you got to invest in the offensive line, you got to invest in the defensive line. Like, that is why. And I think the Commanders did that, which is smart.
Talking with Craig Hoffman, the Hoffman Show, right here on the Junkies. Toby Altizer filling in for the guys today. Do you think the guys that they brought in are going to make that kind of a difference? Because you look at some of the dudes, and they don't necessarily have the best track record, specifically a guy like Kinlaw, who was their big money dude. He doesn't have the best track record against the run, despite being a bigger dude. Do you think you could see maybe some different sorts of packages where maybe they go 3 down linemen and you're having some guys rover around on the outside, or you think they're going to try some different stuff? Like, how do they make this work, or is it truly these guys they brought in, they think fit in to what they're doing and it'll actually improve their run defense?
No, that's a great point, because Kinlaw by build is like the most amazing run defender that's ever played in the NFL, because he's this guy. It's like Toby, you were out there this spring. Every person that we talked to about Javon Kinlaw, what's the first thing they said? That's the biggest dude I've ever seen. Like, yeah. he's a mountain of a man. I mean, I was talking to Dietrich Wise, and Dietrich Wise is like the second biggest man you'll ever meet. And Dietrich Wise was like, that's a big dude. So he just mentally makes some mistakes from time to time, to put it nicely. And that's going to have to get cleaned up. But if you say, hey, man, in these situations, we're just going to put you out on the edge and you're going to set a hard edge in the same way that Daron Payne did last year, and kind of that elephant end position, just a bigger defensive end, because based off situation, you think they're going to run the football, then I think he probably is better suited for that. He's a penetrator, which is why he sometimes gets himself in trouble, as he tries to get upfield instead of just holding his gap. But I think that's what the staff is good at, is understanding like what guys' strengths are, what guys' weaknesses are, trying to get them to do, or trying to put them in positions to do the things they do well. And to your like alignment question, no doubt they're going to play some three down stuff this year. And you know, Eddie Goldman is a key to that. He's a guy that we didn't really see this spring, but he is a true nose tackle, can play head up on the center, or play a shade, so you're on either shoulder of the center. And that allows for a true 3-4 look. They played some odd fronts last year where they had like three guys down, but then it was like Dante Fowler standing up on one end and Frankie on the other. And they would do it in even spacing. So it was, even though there was three guys with their hand in the dirt, it was really kind of a four down thing. This year, they can afford to play some of that odd spacing because they have the guys up front. You need to have bigger bodies to play the alignments in the way that a true 3-4 works. And again, I don't think they'll major in it, but to have it as an option is really good. They have the personnel, and to just make yourself harder to move up front no matter what the alignment is, I think is good. So Goldman's a guy that I think matters in that realm, even if he's playing 12 to 15 snaps a game. Like, that's an option that you didn't have last year and a player that you didn't have. Furl is really important as an edge setter. That's kind of what he's good at, and he did a good job early last year with it. And then he was, you know, he missed time, and then he was banged up, and he wasn't the same after he got banged up. But now bumping him down the depth chart where he's a rotation, more of a rotation piece, is good. Dietrich Wise is really, really good against the run. He's kind of the key to everything, which is crazy to be like, hey, the key to the whole defense is Dietrich Wise. It's like no one's ever heard of this guy. He's just kind of a role player in New England. But like the role he plays is starting first and second down defensive end, and he's very good at it. And then we'll see if, you know, someone like Johnny Newton can take a step this year and what that looks like.
Going to the other side of the football, just a real quick one on this because I'll have a follow-up.
Okay.
Do you think that Jaden is going to have a sophomore slump?
No. Now, does that mean that the Commanders will win more, you know, 12 or more games again, and that it's going to look exactly like it did last year? Not necessarily, but I think that they've done, like, opposite of the Stroud question of last year, I think they've done smart things infrastructure-wise. Mainly, they got Laremy Tunsil, which is ironic considering where he came from. But I think they've created a more sustainable offensive ecosystem in 2025 than they had in 2024, where he overcame a bunch of stuff to have the best rookie year we've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going to go off of. Like, the fill in the blank, Jaden Daniels won't have the sophomore slump because?
Because the offensive line is set up to be pretty darn good and support him, both in that hopefully they're able to run the football effectively with Brian Robinson and company and whoever else is getting carries. And last year, like, they had to plan around the offensive line talent that they had. They did that exceptionally well, like coach of the year type of stuff from Cliff Kingsbury, coordinator of the year type of stuff from Cliff Kingsbury. But it involved a lot of chip help. It involved slides here and misdirection there and moving the pocket all the time. Like, what happens if Jaden, you just sit back there for 3 seconds, confident that he's not going to get hit, and dice a ball down the field with how accurate he is? Like, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, when we talk about they didn't get to the whole playbook last year, and Cliff and DQ are saying that in the press conferences this spring. Like, it's not that, you know, I was doing a podcast yesterday with my guy Louis T., and he's like, you know, we saw like the double reverse pass from Diami that hit OZ in the face mask against the Cowboys in week 18. And it's like, yeah, that stuff's nice. But like, what about just basic drop back game? Like, we didn't get to that last year because, and with five eligibles out in the package, because you don't have anybody that has to chip. And so opening up their passing game, I think, is going to be really fun to watch. Not to mention, you know, they get Debo, who we'll see what he is this year, but by if he's 2023 Debo. No, you're not getting 2021 Debo. That was like literally a once ever in the history of the league type of season. But 2023 Debo is still a really, really good player. And if you get that kind of production, he's an easy button where you can throw some screens. You can get a couple extra handoffs in. You can get a jet pass in and get a technical easy completion because you bop it forward real quick. Like, you can do a lot of easy stuff in this offense, and then that creates the situation, second and short, et cetera, where your whole playbook is open. You can hit some play action pass. You can drop back and throw it deep. And then you still have the guy who's maybe the best scrambler in the league in Jaden Daniels, and that's where he made his magic last year. So I just think that, you know, as long as they get Terry in and there's no, you know, real situation there with Debo, you know, we'll see what the rest of the receiver position looks like. Zach looked great this spring, so if he's, you know, just at least where he was last year, nevertheless, if a guy like Sinnott takes a step, I just think he's surrounded by too much talent. And the infrastructure in terms of the stuff Cliff is really good at was the stuff that Bobby Slowick failed at, like tremendously failed at, cost himself his job, failed at. So I just don't see the situation where that goes sideways.
Talking with Craig Hoffman, Toby Altizer filling in for the Junks. Real quick, Craig, Wizards NBA draft coming up soon. Reports, Ace Bailey could be slipping down the board. What's your interest in him, and who would be your ideal candidate at number six?
I am so interested in basically all of the guys that are in that range because they all have distinct positives. Like, I can tell you why Ace Bailey is going to be a star. I can tell you why he, like, Bailey specifically, the reasons that he's slipping could cause him to flat out bust. Now, I don't know the kid. I haven't, you know, spent a ton of, like, I'm not a professional scout, but, like, in reading everything and watching the little bit that I have, it really comes down to, like, how is his work ethic and those kinds of things. I mean, with Bailey, part of the reason he's slipping is there is an unreliability that seems to be where he is right now. He's also 19 years old and could very easily mature and handle a pro environment better than he handled Rutgers. So there's potential upside there. But the other big reason for him is everyone was saying, oh, he's 6'10", and then he measured in at 6'7.5" at the combine. Right. You're like, that is not 6'10". So he goes from this guy who's got the best shot-making upside in the draft, this side of Cooper Flagg, to at 6'10", which is like an elite type of player, to like, oh, he's a guy, he's a wing, a 6'7", a 6'8" wing who can make shots. Those are slightly more common. And so with Bailey, like, that, the questions are makeup, like character, so to speak. You know, how's the work ethic going to be? Is he going to put in the work? You know, how good of a teammate is he? A lot of people look at that Rutgers team that didn't, with two top five picks, if Bailey goes in the top five, because Dylan Harper's going second, and they're like, why didn't they make the NCAA tournament? And people look at it as like, that was on Bailey, not on Harper. So that's the kind of questions there. Trey Johnson to me is like the most intriguing guy because he could be Devin Booker. And if he's Devin Booker, then he's the third pick in the draft and it's not even close. And maybe he should even go second, depending on how good Harper actually winds up being. But I mean, Harper's really good. But he also could never play defense, and he could be a little selfish with his game and not move the ball in the way that, say, a team like the Wizards, who's trying to get up the floor, get out in transition, keep the ball popping. And you look at a team like Indiana, like how they play. I don't know that Trey Johnson fits into that. So, Con Knipl, you know, he's not the greatest athlete. Like, he's a white guy from, you know, and like plays like a stereotypical white guy, which is like kind of funny, but also he's the best shooter in the draft who lacks athletically. So he kind of is what he is in that way. And you know, they're on down the list. There's reasons why all these top guys could be excellent, excellent players, like potential all-stars. And there's like 7-8 deep in this draft that it could be, and guys where you're like, well, if it goes sideways and the limitations are something they never overcome, they're not going to be very good NBA players, and they're not going to be in the league for very long. So it's a very interesting draft in that way. But I do think the Wizards have a tremendous opportunity at six to get a very, very good player. And it's just really just up to Will Dawkins and that staff to ultimately get it right.
Craig, appreciate the time. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. I didn't get to ask you for the full breakdown of the Nationals' 11-game losing streak.
Oh, well, see, the cool thing is, if people want to go back in my podcast feed 2 days ago, they can hear you do that, Toby, because you came on our show and talked about it, which I appreciate. I'm happy to return serve this morning.
Appreciate it, Craig. Enjoy the rest of your day off.
See you, bud.
That's Craig Hoffman. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. He hosts the Hoffman Show 4 to 7 every day over on the Team 980. We'll continue talking about the Commanders. why I believe Jaden Daniels isn't going to have the sophomore slump. We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Thanks to Craig Hoffman for joining us in the previous segment. Toby Altizer in for the Junkies today, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to the legend, the DOC, Doc Walker. Can you set for Nationals baseball coming up just past 1 o'clock today? So one of the things that I asked Craig was, does he believe Jaden will have a sophomore slump? And I would say a majority of people in this area obviously are going to say no. They don't think he's going to have the sophomore slump. And I think a lot of people believe in Jaden, and that's understandable. And I think just about everybody would be on that side. But Craig laid out kind of the reason why I believe he's not going to have the sophomore slump. It's twofold. I guess threefold, because I think Jaden being such a hard worker, putting all the necessary time in, the necessary preparation in, is a big part of this. So that's kind of overarching in all of this. But the first thing for me is Cliff Kingsbury. Keeping so much of the offensive staff, David Blau, Tavita Pritchard, even keeping a guy like Marcus Mariota, I think having that same sort of support staff for Jaden is huge. Having the same offensive coordinator is huge. Because to me, sometimes you have these guys have spectacular rookie seasons. They lose their offensive coordinator, and then they kind of take a step back, and then maybe they find it again. But if you can have a guy get steady footing for 2 years, then you can kind of establish a base that you can build off of going forward, even if the coordinator leaves. And so having Jaden with Cliff for 2 years, regardless of what happens at the end of the year, if Cliff is back for another year or Cliff takes a head coaching job somewhere else, at least you've had a little bit of time to build up that foundation with Jaden. So when you look at the most recent guy with the quote-unquote sophomore slump, and you can argue whether he even had a sophomore slump. His numbers weren't as good. But C.J. Stroud, right, when you look at his numbers and they weren't as good, he wasn't the same quarterback rookie year to second year, but there are a million factors that go into it. Injuries to his receivers, offensive line wasn't good, his offensive coordinator wasn't any good, even though Bobby Slowick was getting head coaching interviews after his rookie season. he's not even with them anymore. They moved on. So, to me, Bobby Slowick was not good enough last year for C.J. Stroud, and the Texans obviously felt the same way. I don't think that if Cliff Kingsbury is no longer here in D.C. after this season, it's not because he wasn't good enough for Jaden. He's been a head coach before. He understands this stuff. He's not going to suddenly forget how to be an offensive coordinator and draw up an offense for Jaden and these guys. Like, if he's gone, it's because he's a head coach somewhere else. So I'm not worried about that. So Cliff Kingsbury's a big part of this. And then number two, it's the offensive line. Like, I know it sounds so simple. Like, oh, his play caller and his protection. I think the Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah have a podcast, Move the Sticks, talking about the three P's with quarterbacks, and it's play caller, protection, and playmakers. They increased the playmakers this offseason to help out, obviously adding a Debo, right? The play caller's the same, and he was really, really good last season. And the protection, I think, is the biggest part of this, probably. Maybe just slightly less than Cliff, I don't know. But they're hand-in-hand in a lot of ways for me because it opens up so much of the playbook. And I remember getting into the last week or two leading up to the draft and the discussion of who they were going to draft. I wanted an edge rusher, full stop. I know plenty of people were thinking edge rusher. Some people were looking weapon, though. Running back, I would have been fine with Trevion Henderson, but people were considered, you know, would you go after that? Would that be something you would consider at 29? You know, we're talking about receiver. If Emeka Egbuka's there or even a Luther Burden or someone like that, he kind of slipped down as time went on. But someone like that, would you consider? And eventually they just decide to go with the offensive line. And I think what happened was some people got enamored with this idea of having this quote-unquote sexy offense where they can have these playmakers that do all these crazy things and they have just studs everywhere. And what I laid out as soon as they drafted Connerly is their version of a sexy play now is just going to be Jaden having time to find somebody wide open. And while you may not have the flashy third receiver, what you do have is extra time for Jaden to be able to throw the football, and he's so accurate down the field. And they weren't able to do that last year. And suddenly across your offensive line, Laremy Tunsil's a plus. I think Brandon Coleman's going to be a plus at left guard. I think Biotis is a plus. I think Sam Cosmi's a plus. And then Josh Connerly is going to step in there. And I think as he grows, he's going to be a plus. Suddenly you've got five pluses on the offensive line, something we haven't said in a while. So I think the offensive line is going to be a big part of the success for this team and why Jaden's going to avoid that sophomore slump. Maybe the biggest factor of all. I think all of these things are massive, but Jaden is Jaden too. And if you want to say the reason he's not going to have a sophomore slump is because Jaden is so good, I'm not going to disagree with you either. I think he's spectacular and he puts all the work in necessary to be that transcendent type talent. And I think he's already on the verge, if not already, a top five quarterback in the league. Let's get into the Nationals once again. They've lost 11 in a row. I want to give you some of the summary of what's happened in this losing streak. Maybe we'll hear a little bit more from Mike Rizzo. Final hour of the Junkies coming up next here on The Fan and the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.